Hello, and welcome to Still Buffering, a cross-generational guide to the culture that made us. I am Miley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
I'm Taylor Smurl.
Riley, sorry. Thank you for the intro. That's all the talking you'll be doing.
Wow. Oh, man, kid. What's going on with you?
Do you want to tell everybody? I'm sorry. I'm not excited about this.
You sound a little excited
I'm not gleeful.
I have the dreaded mononucleosis has attacked my vocal cords and left me with this shell that I once filled with a beautiful voice.
We think. Well, I'm pretty sure that's...
You're a doctor.
And she's... Full disclosure, you went to your own doctor. Yeah. I do not doctor my family. But we didn't... They didn't actually do the test, but... You probably don't have strep because you don't have tonsils. Probably not. And you don't seem like you have strep, you know, because you seem just tired and sore throat, and that's it. It might just be a viral whatever, and you get better.
Well,
but also way. It could well be mono. I mean, you live in a dorm. You're the right age.
You mooch people.
Hey.
I believe that's called the kissing disease.
That is accurate, Taylor.
But there are other ways to get this than mooching.
Yeah, but that's one of them.
It's very true, though. It is very easy to pass through, like sharing food and drink. There are other ways than just kissing to get mono. But, like, you live in a suite with seven other people, other college-age students, and you're... engaging in questionable activities over the weekend.
What?
You were partying.
Yeah.
Did you do a partying weekend?
I did do a partying weekend.
Oh, wow. Well, that's where it came from. That's what happens.
I mean, maybe it's just a plain old virus, but in the meantime, do not engage in any contact sports as your spleen may be enlarged.
This is... Like, I love having a doctor as a sister because it's like, what's some good advice real quick? But like, then when I do get sick, you always go there to, like, also you could be just casually playing football and all of your blood in your body could slowly be accumulated where your spleen has exploded and then you'll be dead.
Well, it's just the only thing that, I mean, you seem just fine. And so I think you're going to get better with rest and fluids and time. But in case you decided, like, this is the week I want to play full contact
rugby,
whatever, then ultimate frisbee, is that full contact? I don't know.
If it's ultimate enough.
whatever. You college kids like to play those sports out on the quad.
Now, you both...
Ultimate Frisbee.
You both were in college. Did you do that?
You're going to engage in some Quidditch this weekend?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Whatever.
We didn't have a quad or a campus or really any sort of structure, so I don't know. I missed out on all that.
We had a quad, and I did play soccer on it periodically.
One of those.
Also at the park.
Yeah, that's me. Just always playing my contact sports.
You might be LARPing.
Maybe.
That actually seems more likely for you.
Hey.
I'm just saying. No offense. LARPing can be fun. I haven't done it, but I have watched it and clapped for it, and it seemed like it was fun.
I clapped for it.
But possibly dangerous with an enlarged spleen.
The group that LARPs in the park, they don't mind an audience, and so...
That's nice.
And the girls like it.
Yeah.
It's fun. They think it's cool.
I feel like with this voice, I could do a really good, like... In a world, like one of those, like movie, like give me a movie idea. Hold on.
Someone. In a world where you get mono.
In a world where you get mono, starring Riley Smurl.
That's the main thing. Is mono. The starring Riley Smurl?
Yeah, I like that. That's the plot. Well, I'm there. I have mono. That's it, really.
Well, before we get into this week's episode, I want to reduce the stigma on mono. The vast majority of adults have had mono, whether you knew it or not. Epstein-Barr virus, which causes mononucleosis, infectious mononucleosis, is incredibly common. So it just, you can get it from kissing, sure, but you can just get it from, you know, sharing beverages or whatnot.
It makes for a good cautionary tale, though. Don't make out with too many people or your organs might explode. Like, that is a... There it is. If you safe,
do,
kids.
If you do think you have mono, you should see a doctor because it can cause your spleen to become enlarged while you're sick. I mean, it will go back to its...
It will always be that size. Big.
Eventually, but in that time period, you don't want to get, like, hit on the side where your spleen is and have it damaged, so... It's good to avoid contact sports and whatnot. But the point is, if you're worried about it, go see a doctor. They can diagnose you. For a lot of people, it's just rest and fluids is the
Yeah, that's all key. I've been doing.
The sore throat can be rough.
Yeah, it kind of feels like sandpaper right now. When I walked into my dorm yesterday, I told my friends that I probably have mono. And I came in. They all call me Rilo. And one of them looked at me and was going to say, "Hey, Rilo, I'm sorry you have mono." But instead, she said, "Hey, Mono."
Oh, that's your name now.
And now she laughed about it and said, "I didn't mean to do that." But now they all are just calling me Mono whenever I come into the dorm.
Aww. Not a great nickname. Nickname.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
you
I don't.
You want to try to kick that one before you graduate.
I don't love it. Maybe when my voice gets back to normal, they'll forget.
If you wanted an infectious disease, there are better ones that you could be named.
Like what? Sid?
Well, just like you rather, sound cooler.
What would you rather be
like,
named?
What if people called you Anthrax?
What? Okay.
I'm just saying it sounds cooler than Mono.
That sounds much less pleasant, though. That sounds like you're part of a biker gang in the future that... Like, sells cybernetic drugs.
Sure. Does. And it is, I would say, less pleasant than mono. I mean, not that mono is pleasant, but if head to head.
Yeah.
You gotta.
Right.
Would you rather?
Right.
I had mono. I'll help reduce the stigma.
Thanks,
I know. I know. I mean, Taylor, even if you don't remember, you probably did at some point.
Nope. Never mooch, never have mono.
Taylor's never touched anyone.
It's funny how often we, because you can check Epstein-Barr virus titers later in life and see, like, from the pattern, have you ever, do you have an infection now or have you had an infection in the past? And a lot of people don't necessarily remember that they had mono because maybe they had a sore throat and they felt achy and tired and all the other symptoms, but they just didn't go get checked out, so they didn't know that it was mono. I did go get checked out because my throat, it's a sore throat, it's really bad, and I thought I had strep throat, and I assumed I was gonna have to get antibiotics to get over it, so I went in and got checked out, and they said nope, not strep, mono. I had been on spring break, and I remember drinking Corona to try to ease the pain of my sore throat.
That's not how that works.
No, but you'll be fine. I was fine. I was tired. I didn't do much other than school and sleep.
I've slept even more than I usually do the past few days. But all this to say, I will not be talking as much this episode. I will contribute when I have something important to say. But I'm going to just,
you'll have, we'll
just kick it.
We'll just need a few impressions from you on what our topic this week, what I have brought for us to discuss this week,
when you're sick, what do you take? What will the doctor prescribe you?
Oh, I see where you're going. I mean, perhaps a pill.
What kind of pill?
Maybe a little one.
And would it be smooth?
Yes, it would not be jagged. If someone gives you a jagged little pill to take, don't take it. They're not the doctor. How you like that?
Nice.
How you like that?
Wow. That was great.
Is it safe to assume that Alanis Morissette is one of those people that can't swallow pills very well?
Perhaps.
I've never described a pill as jagged before.
No, I can't remember ever taking a jagged pill. But the album, Alanis Morissette's famous, wonderful, amazing work, well known, well regarded, 1995 album, Jagged Little Pill, is what we're going to discuss.
Yes.
And you had not listened to it.
I had never listened to it.
That's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Surely when you did listen to it, you recognized some of the songs.
Yes. Okay. More specifically, ironic. I remember solely because there was a time when at our house we used to have a very old style karaoke machine. Mm-hmm. And you and Taylor, one, I want to say Christmas, performed Ironic together. And I do remember that.
Like a thing that we did.
We karaoke'd in our parents' home to Ironic. That is so 90s.
And I remember it. Because Griffin McElroy then karaoke'd to My Humps.
Did he?
Yes.
Oh, and that Rock sounds Lobster. Yeah.
I don't remember that. I mainly remember karaokeing to Black Velvet on that thing.
That was when we were a lot younger. I remember that.
Yeah. Also, that song, I've Never Been to Me. Do you remember that song on
yeah.
there?
Yeah. That was...
I remember singing that when I was like 13.
Uh-huh.
Because I remember it has the line in it, I took the hand of a preacher man and we made love in the sun.
Oh, God. I remember that. I remember we also had a Tiffany's, I Think We're Alone Now was one of those that we could do. And I like to sing it, but I also like to do an acting out dramatically of the lyrics with a stuffed Chessie cat that we had.
You did? Animal.
Yeah.
You did. I remember that.
It was I had a whole emotive dance routine to a Tiffany song.
I remember vividly the put your arms around me and we tumble to the ground.
Because then I would, in fact, tumble to the ground.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I don't remember that, but I'm glad you do, Riley. I'm glad that you enjoyed that.
A great memory.
The album had 6 singles. That's a lot for an album.
Yeah.
There are only what? 10 songs on the album? Mm-hmm. Something like that?
No, there's more. There's, hold on, I have it all up here. 13.
13.
Okay. The last one is the You Oughta Know.
Yes.
Yeah. Blend.
Yeah.
The Jimmy the Saint blend. And then at the end of that, did you listen to the hidden track?
Oh, no. The secret song.
Yeah.
I was listening on Spotify. I didn't know if it'd be on there.
I don't, well, I mean, if you listen to that one, it should be, because, I mean, it was on the original recording. Uh-huh. You just had to, there's a big pause of silence in between.
Okay.
So, like, the only way, the reason people, man, this is interesting to think about. The reason people found this is because of CDs.
You just leave it playing.
Because what would happen is that the last song would end and then it would stop. And so you wouldn't go up and hit stop.
Yeah.
But there would be a big long pause of silence. You assume the CD has stopped, and then all of a sudden Alanis starts singing. By the way, can catch you off guard if you're in your bedroom alone.
Yeah, I bet.
And really scare the crap out of you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's interesting, because I don't know how you'd do that. I mean, I guess you could just put it at the end of the track, and like if you're listening to Spotify or whatever, it would play. But like, what would you do if your phone went silent for a while? You'd assume something has happened.
I would assume something happened. If I looked down at my phone, it still said it was playing the song. Like the little time bar was still moving along.
Mm-hmm.
But it did not produce any sound.
That's interesting. I
know that.
How do you do secret songs now?
Actually, a good tie-in to a previous episode we've done. Dodie did a secret song in her YouTube videos. For a year, one word in every YouTube video that she posted was a lyric to one of her songs to the tune of the lyric. And then she put them all together at the end of the year and it was a song.
That's cool.
Thank you.
I guess
I was just considering that one of the other albums that was at the same time of this that also had a secret song was Green Day's Dookie, which I would want to talk about at some point. But there's secret songs are both about going to someone's house when they're not home, now that I think of it, which is interesting. I want to look up the timeline. I guess Dookie came out before Jagged Little Pill. So I don't know. Was Lannis just a big fan of Green Day?
Maybe. I would say, as a PSA, please do not go to people's houses when they're not there without their permission.
No.
We do not endorse that here at Still Buff.
No matter what your 90s rock icons want you to believe.
Yes, I know that sounds, okay, if that sounds romantic to you, you need to stop and do a little bit of soul searching. Because it sounds a little bit troubling here at Still Buff. Please don't do that. Alanis, I still love you, and I did love your house, the secret song at the end, but I do not endorse entering people's homes without their permission.
Indeed.
So the big, the first song I remember hearing from Jagged Little Pill was Ironic. Now, I think You Ought to Know was like probably the bigger, like, caught everybody's attention song, because it played very well into this narrative at the time of angry female musical artists. Because that was very much like what everybody started talking about in like the mid to late 90s was like, why are all these girls so mad? They're all making these songs about how mad they are. What's wrong, girls?
In a world where all the girls are mad.
And it was like, and all these female artists are like, well, you know, because the world sucks for us, guys. And we're angry about it. And so we're making really good music. And so I feel like You Ought to Know caught a lot more attention. But Ironic was the one I remember first, because everybody at school, I think I was, this would have been like seventh grade, everybody was talking about it. And the music video. And so I remember watching MTV to try to see the music video.
This is how it, a wild thing you just said.
This is how it used
to be.
Trying to
wrap my head around it.
I would turn on MTV and then just leave it on. And like, I didn't want anybody to change the channel because I was waiting for that, for the Ironic music video to come on so I could know what everybody was talking about. Do you remember these days, Taylor?
Yeah, it was just the luck of the draw. What you could watch. It's a crazy concept, right, Riley?
Like, sorry, I had a big yawn. Like, thinking about not just like pulling up YouTube, typing in like Ironic music video. Like, I'm sure I could pull up that exact music video right now in like less than 15 seconds.
Yes, yeah. I sat and waited, and it did come on. I mean, like, the newer music videos would be on heavier rotation, so like you could see them more often.
Right.
But I finally saw it, and I remember, and I had no familiarity with Alanis Morissette as an artist, with her music. I had never heard any other songs, the album, anything. So I remember coming to school the next day and saying, I really liked that band, Alanis Morissette. Are they sisters? They look so much alike.
Oh, no.
Cindy. No joke. No Silly. Joke. Because I still remember, I probably wouldn't remember saying it so well if I didn't have such a vivid memory of the complete humiliation that followed as everybody in my science class in seventh grade made fun of me for not knowing that it was
one person
named Alanis Morissette, who was just shot from four different camera angles and
what
was
cool
in different
band name, though. Like, if you were just two sisters, like if we had a band and we all were like, all right, what's our name going to be? And we just came Alanis Morissette.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's four in the car. Yeah. They shoot it from four different angles and she's dressed differently with different hairstyles. And so it looks like four women on like a joyride in a car singing Ironic. Like, it looks that way, but it's really just her. Yeah.
And they all have like slightly different personalities, it seems like. Like, they try to make, like, you know.
Yes.
They're all different Alanises in the car.
But I did not know. Legit did not know. And I feel, I still feel a little bit of that embarrassment.
Oh.
To this day.
As you should.
Well, now you just shared it with the masses.
Now you shared it with the internet.
So, yeah. A whole fresh batch of people are making fun of you right now.
So, just know that if you make fun of somebody in seventh grade for not knowing something that they may have maybe should have known, they'll remember for the rest of their life, Scott. For the rest of their life. Forever, Scott.
Call Scott out like that. Okay.
Man, Scott. Hey, why were you such a jerk, Scott?
Gosh, Scott. Hey, Scott.
Would you treat your kids like that? That you probably have now?
That's my sister, Scott. I probably wasn't even alive when this happened.
You definitely
Scott.
Were not.
I definitely was not.
Isn't that amazing how we can do that? Does everybody, I don't know, maybe this is like a me thing, but it sounds like it's not. Does everybody just have like a bag of like deep embarrassment that they carry around with them? Yeah. And you just pull it out sometime when you're feeling too good about yourself or you're trying to go to sleep at night. Like, oh, you know what I remember? That time that I fell down on the ice walking into school in the fifth grade. Let me think about that. I remember how embarrassed I was for a little while. I feel too good today. I think I need a recall.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's always right as up going to sleep.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. If I ever did, I saw that. It was actually a meme on Facebook, which I usually don't cotton to, but.
What a mom thing you just said.
Well, but it was like. Don't worry if I've ever said anything. If I've ever had an awkward interaction with you, I will be reliving it for literally the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that's fair.
I have montages in my head of every time I've been at a restaurant or been in a movie theater and they've said, enjoy your meal / enjoy your movie. And I've said, you too.
Yeah.
I just have those playing on a loop over and over again in my head constantly.
I've done that multiple times when, you know, like boarding a flight, enjoy your flight. And you say, yeah, you too. Oh, you're not going anywhere. It's like, you just want to kind of at that point, just get out of the line, just leave the airport. Just, yeah. Well, I'm not allowed to fly on airplanes anymore because I can't have social interactions like a normal person when boarding them.
You take off running down the gateway.
Oh, no.
Yes, you can. I'm sorry.
I still remember the secondhand embarrassment I felt at breaking the rules when we went to the Chick-fil-A at the Huntington Mall when I was no more than 6 or 7 years old. And it was just me and Sydney and Justin. And we got a party tray of chicken nuggets that's made for like a party of people. Mm-hmm. And Justin picks it up and says thank you, but this is just for us, and then runs off going, I'm sorry. And I just remember being like, oh no, how could he do this to me?
Everybody knows we're not having a party.
Man.
We haven't discussed the album itself enough here.
Yes.
I'm glad that we've all pulled our collective humiliation from our teen.
It's like that
scene in
Harry Potter, like they pull like the phantom like threads out of their head into the, that's what we just did.
Yeah, cool. Can we like set them on fire or something? Can we get rid of them somehow or no? Okay.
We could, if we had a Pensieve, we could relive. We cannot go down this rabbit hole.
No.
Too many problems there now.
Too many probs. Anyways. Let's check the
Nothing
group message.
Nothing gold can stay. Nothing gold can stay. Anyway, let's check the group message.
Sisters, yes. who we talk about this week? By we, I mean you all.
I'm going to start it out because I don't want you talking any more than you have to, Riley.
They would not sponsor us anymore.
No. I want to tell you about DoorDash, okay? Because I don't like to take off my pajamas unless I have to. That's not true. I have so many things to do every day. But the rare occasion where I get to just put on sweatpants and relax, like sometimes I just want the food, the wonderful food, delicious food to come to me. I don't want to have to cook it. I'm so tired. These children are wearing me out. Mm-hmm. And I use DoorDash so that I can order all the great food I like, all the local restaurants that I enjoy, whatever I'm in the mood for, and it'll just be delivered to me wherever I am. We take full advantage of this when we're on the road too, because with kids, you don't always know what a restaurant's going to be like, but the food sounds good, and so it's a great thing to use even when you're out and about in the world, not just at home. With door-to-door delivery in all 50 U.S. states, Puerto Rico, Canada, Australia, you can order from your local go-tos or national chains, whatever you prefer. Because with DoorDash, you don't have to worry about where your next meal is going to come from. It's going to come from the restaurant in a car via the Dasher to your door. Then you do have to get up from the couch to go like greet them and receive the food. But that's it. That's it.
Do you think if you put on your special instructions, come in the front door, it will be unlocked and hand deliver it to me on the couch?
Say nothing.
Say nothing. Make no eye contact.
Don't. Let's
not. Do you
not.
Think they'd do it?
Let's not.
Yeah,
let's not. Don't. Listen, with DoorDash, don't make it weird.
I agree with that.
Taylor, if our listeners don't want to make it weird, but do want to use DoorDash, what should they do?
Well, right now you can get $5 off your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code BUFFERING. That's $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code BUFFERING. Don't forget, code's BUFFERING, you get $5 off your first order.
Siblings, it's a wireless world. Wires are so... I say that while we're sitting in a recording studio covered in wires.
Covered in wires.
But when I leave this studio and go out to the world, I don't want to be tied down by wires. And I need earbuds that can come with me safely tucked inside my ears. No wires attached. And Raycon has you covered. You can get those wireless earbuds without dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair, which is the great news.
Yes.
Because usually you do. And with Raycon, you don't. They start at about half the price of other premium wireless earbuds on the market. They sound just as amazing as the other top audio brands. And the latest model, the E25, offers 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass with a stylish, discreet design that gives you a nice noise isolating fit. And I will say that they definitely do stay in there. I have a lot of problems with earbuds falling out of my ears, which is a pain because I tend to wear them mainly like when I'm cooking dinner or like washing dishes or doing clothes or anything like that, where like you really don't want your earbud to fall out and get into the situation that lies below. Uh-huh. That happens to me a lot. And with Raycons, they don't. And I really love that for my apparently very oddly shaped ears. So Tay, if our listeners want to get some Raycons, what should they do?
Well, now's the time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. You can get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/buffering. That's buyraycon.com/buffering. You get 15% off your Raycon wireless earbuds. buyraycon.com/buffering.
So, we talked about ironic, which I guess we have to, are we obligated, like legally obligated to say that no, the things... The situations listed in ironic are not, in fact, ironic.
Yes.
They're just unfortunate.
Yes. Thank you.
Aren't they just coincidences?
Would we have known this without the internet? I don't know. Who can say? But thanks to the internet, there are many things written about how, no, they are not ironic. They are just a series of unfortunate events that happened to our protagonist. That is
Alanis Morissette.
Yes. And that is too bad. It's still a good song. It's fine. We'll all live. It's fine. There are worse things.
Yeah.
You ought to know, though. I still remember that's the music video with her like in the desert with a guitar or something. And it's like shot in like sepia tone. You remember this, Tay?
I feel like there were a lot of people in deserts with guitars in the 90s. Maybe she was one of them.
She's so angry, and of course, you ought to know, it was written about some guy who was a jerk, mm-hmm. and who, you know, did her dirty. And what the mythology that arose from that song, because whenever somebody writes an angry song about somebody else, the first question is, who's it about?
Right. And if they're really famous, it's probably someone else who is also famous.
Everybody wants to know the dish.
Right.
And
spill the tea.
I remember the first time I heard this, I thought, how could this be possible? That Alanis Morissette's song, You Ought to Know, was about Dave Coulier, because...
Hold on, wait. Dave Coulier, as in Uncle Joey from Full House.
That's right, Uncle Joey.
What?
You know, cut it out, Uncle Joey.
Him?
Did somebody say, what? That one. Remember, you did the woodchuck.
You had to do two Dave Coulier bits.
Wow.
One more and you've summoned him.
Please, no. Please don't.
They were buddies because of Canada. No.
Yes, all Canadians, you all know each other, right? And you all hang
Sydney,
out with Alanis
Morissette.
I'm joking. I'm joking.
They were buddies because of Canada.
I know. No, they had dated back in 1992. I think because of You Can't Do That on Television, which is a Canadian show. But I think they were both on it. I believe. Well, she was, okay. For sure. Or maybe that's how they met. Somehow they met. Uh-huh. No, I know. I apologize. I know all Canadians don't know each other. I know. But I feel like you probably get that a lot, don't you?
Canada?
This is just not a silent spot for all of you Canadians listening to answer verbally.
Well, I feel like that they probably do. Like, oh, I know somebody from Canada. And it's like, yes, thank you, dumb American. There are lots of people in Canada. It's a giant country. Thank you, Canada.
This is fun. Like, it becomes like a choose your own adventure episode. Like, we wait for them to respond and we record one episode where we're like, oh, cool, you do all know each other. Or we record one where we're like, yeah, that wasn't very smart. It's a very large place.
Well,
and then they got to choose their track based on how they answer.
To be fair, it's the same. I would say it's the same for West Virginia. Yeah, I knew somebody from West Virginia.
Okay. That's true.
I know lots of people from West Virginia. I still live there. Mm-hmm.
And usually, but, actually, when people tell you that, usually they actually knew somebody from Virginia. And just don't. They think you're just...
Oh, I knew someone from Richmond.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Nope, that's not, it's a different state entirely.
Do you live near state. Richmond? No. I mean,
why is it always Richmond?
Because it's the only place they know in Virginia.
Okay, a lot of people from Richmond get around, I guess. Just, they're everywhere.
The only people that actually know all of everybody are those from Richmond.
That's the true answer.
I don't know.
But I did enjoy You Ought to Know. That was one of my favorites. I think it was in my top three.
It was. I found it liberating and shocking when I was a young woman. Shocking.
Yeah, I definitely remember being a little embarrassed to listen to it when I was young.
She uses the F word.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
It's the only explicit one, right?
Because
I know I was scrolling through Spotify and like they've got the little E next to all the songs. I think that was the only one that caught my attention. Yeah, it's the only one.
I remember hearing that and being like, whoa, mm-hmm. Did she just say that for real? And then about Uncle Joey.
She said that about Uncle Joey.
Whoa, what did you do, Uncle Joey?
Can we talk about how 90s this album cover is?
It's cool.
Oh, it's great. Yeah.
Like, it reminds me of the font and the editing techniques that they use for those after school specials about, like, you know, not doing drugs or something.
Listen, there was nothing after school special about Atlanta. She was putting the truth out there. She was telling it like it was.
No, I actually did really enjoy it, but it was very 90s. All of it's very 90s.
So I thought this was interesting. Dave Coulier did come out once and say that he thought the song was about him.
Oh.
Is that an
episode of Full House?
Is that where the myth originated, that or the belief originated?
I don't think so. I think it predated him because what he said was that, and she admitted this, that he called her and said, is this song about me? Because people are telling me it's about me. Is that true? And she was just like, it's about, it could be a lot of people. but he thought it was because at one point she did call him in the middle of dinner and he said, I'm in the middle of dinner. Can I call you back?
Oh, wow.
I hate to bug you in the middle of dinner. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he said that, and later she was like, she just kind of said, I just think it's interesting how many people think it's about them.
Well,
pulling a line from a You're So Vain there.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I do think it's interesting that there was still a news article written about this on December 6th of 2019.
You ought to know. We want to know.
It still starts with fans still want to know if it is about her ex, Dave Coulier.
Of course. Of course we want to know the dish.
I think that's just been accepted into like modern day myth, right? Like, that's the truth. It's about Uncle Joey.
The other big songs that came from that, Hand in My Pocket.
That was another one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. That was also in my top three.
Yeah. That was a good one. That was like just a good... feel good, not shocking.
Mm-hmm.
Good song. All I Really Want was apparently a single, which I really enjoyed All I Really Want, but I don't think I remembered that it was a single.
Hmm. Now, singles now, in my experience, for more recent modern mm-hmm. music, are like, one, a single, hence the name, that is released before the album to kind of like... get some hype for the album
mm-hmm.
and the album is released or EP or whatever.
Sure.
But I don't think, I mean, albums are smaller than this that I listen to. So I don't, like, if you release seven singles, that'd pretty much nearly be the entire album. The point is, like, I think now releasing the album, not like the singles.
Well, I don't think that all of the singles were released ahead of time necessarily.
Yeah. They're
so
just
then
the
what's
ones.
The, what would the difference be then if they weren't released separately?
How would they, you? They were the ones that went into wide radio circulation. Oh, and okay. I would guess these are the same ones that had music videos.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I know that Hand in My Pocket did too. And You Learn, right?
Yeah, definitely. That one was, what, I feel like at the time
You Learn was huge.
It was pretty common, like even when an album was out, you would still like, they'd still release like standalone like singles of a song. I mean, isn't that a crazy concept, Riley? You could just buy a single song and it wasn't like preview this album.
It's wild.
It's like, here's just that one song that everybody likes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, now, of course, you can listen to one song from the album when it's released before, like, the Jonas Brothers, before they released their big comeback album, released mm-hmm. one song. And yeah. you could listen to that one song and you knew the album wasn't coming out for another few months.
No, I feel like it's, I don't know, but my guess would be You Ought to Know was the first single. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it was. I just confirmed that. It came out in July of 1995, and then followed by Hand in My Pocket, then Ironic, and You Learn, Head Over Feet, and then All I Really Want. That makes sense. That was the last one. Head Over Feet, man, that was a good one. That's one of my faves from it.
That's a good one.
I thought that was a nice love song.
Yeah. I don't know where I was at in my teenage years, but I liked the kind of sad songs about sad people. I liked Mary Jane and I liked Perfect. Those were the, those
I
were the
also
songs.
Like Mary Jane.
Yeah. That song still gets to me, I feel like. Like there are certain lines in that song like that, you know, like, ugh.
Yes.
The angst.
No, Mary Jane is good. I think Mary Jane was an underrated song because it wasn't a single. It didn't get like the widespread. If you talk to people during the time about what songs they love, almost nobody ever mentioned Mary Jane is one of the top ones. But I thought like musically and vocally, it was a really beautiful tribute to a person.
Yeah.
Like love letter, letter of concern, comfort, I'm still here. Like that kind of, I thought it was a really beautiful song. I agree. One of my favorites too. Mm-hmm. Perfect, it was always this weird thing where I connected to the feelings without, like, I didn't feel like, obviously the character in Perfect, like their parents are pushing them, and that's like the perspective, it's like a parent mm-hmm. shoving a kid, and I didn't really feel like our parents did that to me personally, but I did understand like the compulsion that right. was within that song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had that voice in my own head. It did not sound like Alanis Morissette.
Sydney was her own parents.
but I mean, I thought Perfect was, you know, and that's the thing, like Perfect got a lot of criticism for being like too on the nose. But like, I think it's one of those things where we only think things are on the nose or like, oh, it's so like played out or whatever. In retrospect, because it was maybe the first one that was saying that so boldly and openly and like easily understandable to teenagers.
Right. Yeah. You know, I think that was really, I don't really feel like that was, there were other big hits at the time that, I mean, that wasn't like it wasn't a song about having a crush on a girl that's too cool for you, which so many songs will always be about. It was a very unique sentiment, you know?
Yeah. I thought it was. And same with, man, I remember at this point in my life, like hearing a song like Forgiven and being like, whoa.
Yeah.
Again, shocking.
Yeah.
Can you do that, Alanis? You're going to get in so much trouble.
Alanis, you can't do that.
You're going to get excommunicated, Alanis.
Well, that was interesting. Like sort of looking at those two songs, like it clearly was directed at a teen audience. I mean, it had themes that were directly meant to appeal to that. But then you had such heavy concepts like that, like kind of like dark stuff on there that,
yeah,
I feel like that's one of the reasons that people loved it so much was it had a sense of respect towards its listeners. You know, like these are things that you might actually be feeling or thinking about, but you're not, I know you're young, but it's okay. You can think about big things.
And I would say the same for Right Through You. I remember Right Through You really, like, as I got older, like, really connected with that idea of, like, I mean, it's different depending on what field you go into. And certainly, like, I think there's a lot more, it seems to me, in the entertainment industry, a lot more of this, like she describes, like, she's treated as this, like, sweet, naive little, oh, you got a guitar and you write your little poems mm-hmm. and make them into songs. Right. Oh, that's adorable. I bet you want to make a record. Well, what are you going to do for me? Mm-hmm. Like, I can see where that existed, probably still exists. Hopefully, I would hope is getting better. I don't know. This is not the industry I'm in. In medicine, obviously, it's not like that. that is not my experience in the sciences. But I mean, sexism exists,
right?
In different forms in different industries. I know.
Sorry, what?
And there is a buttoned up sexism that exists mm-hmm. in the sciences. Sometimes it is not quite so overt, but is still very much there. And I remember that just the opening, like, wait a minute, man, you mispronounced my name. Like, I've had that feeling, that urgency. Like, wait, you didn't even, hold on, just wait, just stop. Okay, no, I'm not done. Like, just stop talking for a second.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that was my opening statement, and I have more to say, and I have a case to make, and if you'll just shut up and stop interrupting me, there's more. And, like, feeling like in a very professional way, I've been silenced and put off and ignored. In a way that is overt in the song, that really connected to me, and it still does. Like, as an adult, there are moments where I recognize that happening. It's like, hold on, I'm gonna break into an Atlanta song from 1995 right now. Okay,
if you don't stop, I'm going to break out a song
in the middle of a conference room, like in a meeting. Here's the thing,
just wait.
That'd be great.
Well, that would be a really powerful moment. To be fair,
it would be. I do feel like it's worth mentioning as we near the end that this is a musical now.
Yes.
Like a jukebox musical, mm-hmm. if you will. Tay, I know you had talked a little bit about it. I'm not super familiar with it. The first I listened to this music was just the original album. I thought you all might be mad if the only album I listened to was the Broadway recording. So
yeah,
I did listen to the original.
Yeah.
No, I would hope so.
Well, apparently it's... and this was on Alanis's request, that she did not want it to have anything to do with her life. She wanted it to be completely different. And the book's written by Diablo Cody, which I thought was cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. But yeah, it like follows like a suburban family dealing with a variety of, you know, important issues, sexuality uh-huh. and you know, racism. And the mother of the family is named Mary Jane. So there's that.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's got pretty good reviews. It sounds fun.
So it's basically Escape to Margaritaville.
I don't know about that per se, but in the same wheelhouse.
Only in the sense that if the criteria is musicals that Sydney would love,
these are made for you.
These in the Venn diagram, they are just two circles that perfectly overlap.
Uh-huh.
And it's just musicals that Sydney loves. Yes. Just these two.
These two. I mean, I love a lot of other musicals. I know, but like, but yes, that would be the main thing the two have in common is that I do love Escape to Margaritaville, and I am certain I would love, is it Jagged Little Pill?
Yeah,
is that what it's called?
Yeah,
the musical. I'm certain I would love it. I think for some of us of a certain age, it was the first CD that I went and bought for me. It wasn't the first CD I owned. I asked for other ones for Christmas, but there were, mom would periodically just buy me things and be like, "You would love this," and sometimes she was right. Mm-hmm. But it was the first one that I went out and sought out, probably at like Suncoast.
Yeah.
And bought.
Sam Goody. Yeah.
Yeah. And bought for me and took home and played over and over and over again on my giant stereo. Mm. Gosh, CD players were so big.
They were. Well, and
I
remember you playing that song on a road trip. We were going down to the beach one summer, like in the car. And I remember it so vividly because it was so awkward to hear some of those songs trapped in a car with our parents. But they let you play the whole thing beginning to end. And you sang along with every word. And I'm just like, well, this is awkward. This is weird for me.
I know, as you're saying this, I realize that I am going to experience this on the other side someday. Uh-huh,
there you go. Revenge.
I will be the parent in this mm-hmm. in this situation someday. I already know this is going to happen. It was the first I felt like it was for me. Right. And there are a lot of other musical artists at the time who did this for other people. I mean, like, as I was sitting and thinking about what had the most impact on me, it's hard to sit there and deny somebody like Tori Amos.
Right.
But like, this was for me personally, this was my first, I listened to it and went, oh, there's music for me. Mm-hmm. And then it opened this whole idea of like, well, if there's music for me, then that person who made the music, they see things a little bit like me, and they've had some of the experiences I've had, and they think about and worry about and get angry about the same things I do. And there must be more like me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there should be more stuff for us. And maybe it's already out there. It just doesn't get promoted as much as everything else. And like, once you break into that idea that there are lots of people who like what you like and think like you do, and like they're out there, you just can't see them because everything is made for not you.
Right.
Everything that gets promoted and put broadly, you know, accessible is not you. It's a very empowering idea. Like, we are here and I just have to find the rest of us.
Well, and that's,
and find that media.
That's such a good point, because I think that, you know, a lot of approachable music gets flack for being approachable, but like, especially something like this, I feel like a lot of people probably listened to Alanis Morissette and it opened the door to kind of dig deeper into alternative female musicians, you know, like I had a yes. similar experience. I loved Veruca Salt growing up, and Veruca Salt was very nicely packaged pop music that had like a little bit of a rock and a little bit of a punk to it, but it led me to so many other like artists, because that was kind of the gateway towards it, like
your gateway raid.
Yeah, well, and you know, I know we talked about this when it came out, but that I think it was a Muse article that about how Jagged Little Pill is actually bad, but like, ugh. You know, that was the title, which, okay.
Yeah.
And about how, like, you know, kind of crucifies it because it is simple, I guess, which is just such a annoying double standard on music, because I feel like most of the iconic, like, male-fronted musical artists, simplicity is intrinsic in their design, you know? And
yes.
like once again, at the same time period, I don't think anyone, like, Green Day's Dookie will always be held up as like a masterpiece. Green Day was simple and straightforward and told you things that you felt as a teen. Alanis did the same thing, but now we have to go back and be like, actually, I re-listened to it and my childhood feelings were really basic and annoying. Like, what?
It's very frustrating. It's a way of demeaning like the emotions we experience when we're young, because as we get older, our views become a little more complex, and so we don't feel things exactly the same way. But you can't negate those very formative, important experiences that like a giant chunk of the population are having right this minute and need to have an experience and feel. And then secondly, I think it has to be a gender thing.
It is. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so, because, oh God, I remember the article, the framing of it, because it's a woman who's trying to introduce her husband to it. And I guess it's like trying to please, here, look, husband, here is this music. Oh, you're right. It's really bad, husband. It's like, oh man, like
it's, I found it very like upsetting. It really put a bad taste in my mouth, that whole article. I didn't agree with it at all. And it's just the same. It's the same old thing, right? We've talked about it on the show before. If teenage girls like something, then all of society and culture has to declare it bad and stupid and wrong and make fun of it mercilessly until we all agree that it's crap and then move on. And like, you can't, if you're a teenage girl, whatever you like automatically becomes bad, and it just sucks.
No, that's really like, that's if one thing changes anytime soon in like youth culture, it's like, hey, young non-men, like, you can stand up for the things you like. The fact that you like it, that's all you need to qualify that you are allowed to like it. If you like it, it's yes. yours. Like, you can defend it, you can embrace it. You don't have to cast it off to gain somebody else's approval.
Grease 2 forever. Well, Grease 2 no, forever.
I was going to happen.
I don't think that's like a teen girl thing, Sid. I think that's a you thing. You specifically. If there was a party of people that just like rep Grease 2, it's a party of one and it's just you.
I'm fine. I love this party. I'm going to stay at it forever.
All right. You have your party.
Hey, what will we be discussing next week when hopefully I sound better?
Yeah, well, all right. So I wanted to do something from the kind of 90s Nicktoon era. I chose Hey Arnold. I now as a weird pigeon person in Brooklyn, I feel like I've come full circle with my love of Hey Arnold.
All right. Yeah.
It's great. I'd love to watch some Hey Arnold.
Yeah, I'm excited to go back. And I feel like it was right on the edge of my youth. So I think you watched it. And so I remember it. And I watched around it, but I wasn't as deep in it. And so I'm excited to, I'm going to try to get Charlie into it.
Yeah. I mean, there were a lot in that era that I loved at the time, like when I was younger. But I feel like Hey Arnold is the one that like, I've rewatched it recently. And I'm like, oh, it's one of those first shows that I think kind of got like, we can make a show for kids that adults can enjoy too, but like on like mm-hmm. a deeper level, like the thoughts and the feelings behind it were really powerful and beautiful.
So to find it, do I just turn on Nickelodeon and wait till it comes
yeah,
on?
Yeah, you do. Okay. Yeah, yep. Exactly.
Good. I'll be in front of my television on basic
yeah.
cable.
I would like
or network,
to say
whatever I don't know whatever it is
before we finish. This is our 200th episode of Still Buffering.
Really?
Yes. I didn't realize that until I was posting the show last week and realized last week's was 199. This is 200. So thanks for this journey of 200 episodes.
Wow. You could have said you ought to know that this is our 200th episode.
I'm very tired, Sydney. Sorry. I didn't think about it.
That's okay.
But yeah, this is 200 episodes, so siblings and listeners and everyone, Maximum Fun, all those people, thank you for having us on for so long. It's been a fun 200 episodes. It means it's pretty much been 4 years, which is insane. But
you've changed so much.
I know. Gosh.
You've gotten your first mono.
Okay. Glad we could be here. Glad you could commemorate our 200th episode with mono. That feels very fitting for the show, actually.
For the evolution, the actual aging of this show. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. It was planned.
Our little Riley's growing up.
Got my first mono.
Hopefully your only. I mean, that's kind of the way it usually works.
Usually. Yeah. Yeah, only mono.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you then. Thank you, listeners, for hanging with us for 200 episodes.
Wow.
Wild.
Here's to 200 more.
Yeah.
Woohoo. Thank you, Maximum Fun, for letting us be part of your network. Everyone should go to MaximumFun.org and check out all the wonderful podcasts that they would enjoy. You can tweet at us at StillBuff. You can email us at StillBuffering@MaximumFun.org. And thank you to the Novellas for our theme song, Baby Change Mine.
This has been your cross-generational guide to the culture that made us. I am Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McRoy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
I'm Still Buffering.
And I am too.
It's, and you almost forgot to say your name, and that's the same.
I don't know.
Still
know.
To say your name. That didn't even change.
What happened?
I got real confused. I'm like, wait, do I go next?
Oh. I don't know what happened there. I just went totally blank.
That falls apart so easily.
Hanging by a thread here.
And I'm Dave Coulier.
Oh, nothing gold can say.
I don't know. Ranger Joe.
Hey, you've reached Dr. Game Show. Leave your message after the beep.
Dr. Game Show is my favorite podcast and the only podcast my parents let me listen to because I'm 12. But even old people love this show. Basically, you call in, play games, and have fun. If you win a game, a baby will send you a magnet in the mail. I have so many magnets and put them all over my locker, and pretty much everyone at school is jealous because they are very cool custom magnets, and it also means that I'm really good at winning games. And they even let me practice my record live on the air. Listening to this show is like going to a real doctor, but pretty much kind of better. Dr. Game Show rocks.
Listen to Dr. Game Show on Maximum Fun. New episodes every other Wednesday.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.